Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho.
All right, here we go. It's ESPN 1000 on a Saturday morning. Mark Zander, Brian Hanley. Brian, I'm staring right at the tour bus for what I believe is Blondie. And I wonder if she is sleeping on the bus right here, parked in the middle of State Street.
I would think maybe the roadies might. I think Blondie probably gets a hotel suite.
Yeah. I was trying to draw this illusion that she's still, you know, on the bus and, you know, and living life on the road. But yeah, you know, she has a very nice hotel room.
I met her once.
Did you? I have not. I have not. I've met many, but not her.
We were on West Belmont Street in a one floor building that we shared with WXRT, and I guess
little hideout there on Belmont.
Yeah, with the set next to that radio tower, which was on the roof, right?
Yes.
And I mean, there was thick cement through the base of it.
Couldn't miss it. Yeah.
No, but I mean, in the studio, you literally like sat next to the base of the, you know, even though it was surrounded by cement. I'm thinking that probably wasn't the best thing for your health long term to be sitting next to a very powerful transmitter.
Hey, what is good for your health these days? Maybe that actually helped people.
Not watching the White Sox.
That's right.
But Blondie, she poked her head into the studio. I think she went down the wrong hallway, which was really difficult to do because there were only two of them. So what were the odds? But you know, I say
fitty.
That looked like Blondie, and it was. And that was, 30 years ago, give or take.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Did you have a chance to say hi and have a little convo?
Just say hi and then get the hell out of my booth. No. She's
right.
Sent her over to see Terry Hemmer. Your White Sox. So last night, Mark, neighbors had a little get-together early. So I went down there and they had there's a singer-songwriter type guy singing. Very nice. Uh-huh. I'm talking to a White Sox fan, and the game's just about to start, and he brings up Thursday night's game with and the angle drop, and then the 0-2 two-out home run.
Yep.
Which next thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire, and he was lamenting that. I'm like, you can't make this stuff up, even though they were 2-for-13 with runners in scoring position. So you know, we all fixate on how the game ended, but like the White Sox do, they had plenty of opportunities.
Absolutely. It's the one consistency. Well, there are a few bad consistencies, and that's one of them. They've been doing that all year.
Yep.
But the angle drop, obviously, that was shocking. And
sure,
people want to throw a lot of weight on that.
Yeah.
But 99 out of 100 times, he catches that.
Right.
And he's not the one that threw the home run ball.
No, and to, you know, to his credit, Liam Hendricks stood up and said, I still have to make a pitch.
Yep.
We didn't lose it on that. I mean,
that's right.
It's still 0-2, and I can go ahead and make it, you know, strike three, and let's all go home.
But it just indicates what the Sox say. I mean, that was a snapshot of what we felt for this whole entire season, all the way to the end. I'll predict that much.
Right. So you know, we're lamenting Thursday's loss and how you can't script this stuff.
Mm.
And then, I mean, as soon as I start watching the game, the second inning happens. And it's Johnny Cueto. Now, look, every pitcher has one of those. I mean, but he's been...
That's exactly, you know, right.
He's been the leader on and off the field. Yep. And it's the Diamondbacks. I mean, good Lord. How do they go through, you know, the lineup in one inning? It's... And you know, rewind to Scott Merkin, the great Scott Merkin writing at MLB.com, beginning of the week on conversation with Rick Hahn last Thursday. And Rick's still delusional, talking about, well, hopefully, you know, we're still going to have celebrations, plural, in October. Like,
I know, I saw that, and that made me so angry.
Stop.
As a White Sox fan, it's like, why are you not seeing, why are you in such denial? Why are you not seeing what the rest of us are seeing? Don't you get paid a lot of money to see the obvious?
Don't pander. I mean, don't just avoid that talk until there's reason to talk. I mean, you know, you're not walking the walk, and now people are more. I saw the lineup yesterday, and I'm like, this doesn't look too good. I mean, if you look at that lineup before you get to Johnny Cueto at the bottom of it, you're thinking, at least I thought, how would this play in October? You know, celebrations in October. I just look at that lineup, and I get Now Loy's out again, and Luis Robert's unavailable.
Yeah, but you know what, though? And I saw this on MLB Network this morning. I watched Quick Pitch, you know, when I get up in the morning and see what's going on. And the host, you know, they've got very creative presentation. And the host basically said, oh, the south side of Chicago, so many people hurt. You know what? It's true, but I'm tired of the excuses. Grandal, T.A., Kopech, Bummer, Mendick, Crochet, Garcia, all on the I.L. Robert, Mankata, day-to-day. Have any of them, with the exception of, let's see, Mendick, been solid consistently when they've been on the field?
No.
No. That's why I'm so sick of it. You know, it doesn't matter if they're hurt. It doesn't matter if they were all there. It doesn't matter.
Was it like 2 months ago I said there was no Bryce Harper on the IL for the Sox, right? And guess what?
Right.
Bryce Harper comes back and he knocks in a couple with the bases loaded right away.
Immediate impact.
Yeah. You know, the Cubs have used 58 players in games this year. The White Sox, 43. Now, expectations for the two teams, polar opposites, right? But the Cubs have had their share of, you know, injuries and call-ups and everything else. And even for the pitching, the two teams, I just saw this morning. I was looking at baseballreference.com. The Cubs and the Sox, the pitching was supposed to be one of the hallmarks of the White Sox, right? The rotation and the bullpen was advertised as one of the best in the game. The ERA for the Chicago Cubs to this point, 4.21. Higher or lower than the White Sox?
Well, the way you sell that, I know the White Sox are higher.
No, they're not, but it's not that far off. 4.0.
Okay. And it should be better than that, obviously, with who we have and what's been advertised. Everybody down to one person should be better than they have been. There are just a few that have really reached their potential or have gone over it. Johnny Cueto, aside from last night. But, you know, you're right. Johnny gets to have a bad night.
Sure,
it's unfortunate. But it's the damn Diamondbacks.
And
where is our offense? We could have come back on that easily. Where are they?
And the Cubs have used 38 pitchers to the White Sox 23. So, a couple of weeks ago I was saying, I wouldn't give you Keegan Thompson or Justin Steele for Kopech, and that was before Kopech's game Monday. And that seems like it was 2 weeks ago, not this. Oh boy, this week has just been, it's been another week for the, every week for the White Sox is another week. I mean, it's just
and it seems to, every week seems to top the previous one.
Seriously. I mean, here's a guy who apparently was, you know, hurting during warmups. Now, to his credit, he, you know, talks him into getting the start. And, you know,
and then Tony leaves him in too long, arguably.
Well, I mean, but I'm listening to the broadcast with Len and DJ as I'm out walking. And DJ's like, Len brought it up right away. Velocity on the fastball, 89, 90. Something's wrong.
Yeah. Right away. Oh, yeah. Saw that right away.
Mm-hmm. Right away. Before the dugout apparently saw it. And next thing you know, there's four runs in. And
somebody in the crowd told Tony how fast that pitch was.
Well, you could be sitting, you know, 50 rows up in Kansas City. There, you know, the high dozens of whoever showed up in that game. Yeah, you could have heard them from there. But I get that Kopech wants to start. But, I mean, can you allow that? You know,
it's funny, Brian, because this goes against what you and I have both conjectured about before, that Tony's been too soft on players. And then all of a sudden, he seemingly leaves a guy in who doesn't have his stuff. He's hurting, and he leaves him in. Did he leave him in because Michael said, please leave me in? Or did he leave him in because that's what Tony did? It goes against... it's just another inconsistency. It's making all of us crazy. 312-332-3776. By the way, the White Sox are underdogs tonight. Davis Martin is pitching for the White Sox. He's obviously filling in. We're underdogs to the Diamondbacks.
Well, because you're at home and you don't win at home.
I know.
Although,
I can't remember, it was over the last 18 games. At home, they've won 12, so they have turned that around a bit. Certainly hasn't impacted the entire season yet, but as of late, it's been okay. But remember, we always lose the first game of the series.
Oh, yeah.
So we're consistent yesterday in losing.
I tweeted that out after the loss of Kansas City. I'm like, you know, before Tony spoke, And to his credit, he said, you want to call us lousy, you know.
And I said right away on Twitter, thank you for the permission. I will call you lousy.
Yeah, you and everyone's like, you're lousy. The front office is lousy. The owner's lousy. I mean, he opened the door to that one. But I thought we were going to get the fight, 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 blood and guts. We came back and tied that game and look at us. I'm like, it's the Royals with what, at that point, 74 losses. Oh, I mean, but yeah, that's what they do. And I didn't see Johnny Cueto being the cause for that loss, but they lose the first game of series. It's not even close. I told you that's a good betting strategy if you want to make money because they lose two thirds of their opening games in series. I mean, that's a pretty high percentage for the so-called contending playoff type White Sox team.
It is absolutely insane. And meanwhile, Ian Happ sets a record.
When he was doing that yesterday, I kept thinking, why is he not on the White Sox? And did you see the catch he made the other day? Up against in the vines?
Two, right?
Yeah, two yesterday. He's the first player in the modern era to have multi-run home run games.
Only two hits of the game, and both were home runs by one guy.
And the first one in Cub history to have a leadoff two-run home run because we now put a man on second. Yeah,
right. And I saw that. It's like, okay, yeah, you can't really say that's a record because it's
rule. It's a great bar question if you guys have it to you, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, why isn't he on the White Sox? I mean, here's a guy whose fielding is better. He could play second. He's got power, which, again, the White Sox don't have. It wouldn't have cost you an arm and a leg.
Look, Contreras didn't get traded. There are a bunch of Cubs that did not get traded. Was Jed looking for too much for these players? I have no idea. I mean, I'm going to fault Han here, too, because that wouldn't have been a bad asset to have for the White Sox. But then again, we saw a bunch of players that did not get moved by the Cubs. So who knows?
Sitting on your hands, Rick Hahn, at the trade deadline and thinking this is good enough. And here you are squarely 63-63 today. Timeshare in 500ville. That's where this team lives.
That's where they've lived. Yep.
Yeah. It's beyond me. It's, I won't tell you what the playoff probability is. I'll save that for later.
Okay. Ooh, that's a tease.
But one of our Twitter poll questions is for Sox fans, 63-63 today, they will finish the season above 500, below 500, at 500, or who cares?
Well, option D, I think, is going to score
I want to hear from Sox fans.
Absolutely.
Does anyone share Rick Hahn's celebrations in October scenario?
If you do, share with us what you are smoking.
Make the case. Tell us make what is going to happen. Everyone gets healthy, and then what? I mean, TA's back for the playoffs, and Aloy's available more often than not, and here's Luis Robert, and all of a sudden they're going to be going on home run binges, and again, I said that I don't think they can win six in a row again. They came close, but they didn't.
Right.
I just don't know. I don't know what to make of it anymore. I really don't.
312-332-3776. We'll take your phone calls. We've got some audio to play for you when we come back here on ESPN 1000.
They came to see us win a ball game. We got beat. And for most of the game, I mean, lopsided, right? They have every right to be upset. The team, manager, whatever they want. I mean, they got every right to do it. But I'm just saying that the fact that they were here and they did say, let's go White Sox, there's amazing, amazing fan support here. And I've got plenty of experience. But there ain't no free lunch. It's a two-way relationship. They support you, you got to give back. We got to do more about giving back.
Yeah, you do, Tony. The whole team. ESPN 1000, Xander and Hanley. Yeah, that was Tony post-game about how, he was hearing the boos. The whole team's hearing the boos. And that's how we show our displeasure. Brian?
33,000 showed up on a beautiful
Elvis
night.
Elvis night.
Yeah,
and I was hoping
night.
Elvis Andrus would hit a home run for Elvis night. It was his birthday yesterday. Having that name on Elvis night, on your birthday, it just all seemed to align.
You could have said Elvis has left the building.
Yep, but if, he'll return today. Yeah. Yes. No. Yes.
Yeah. And Jesse Rogers was there last night, and he'll join us in a little bit here because he's our baseball guy, and he's going to be on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. He's heading to St. Louis. But they did turn out 33,000 plus, and they started with Let's Go White Sox, and it is the Diamondbacks, and they expected better. And you heard Tony at the end there said, you know, it's a two-way street.
Yep.
You got to – they're
giving
give
it to us. They cheer for us, and we've got to give them it back. Yeah. And they weren't – I would say – obviously, I can't speak for everybody, but do you think they were booing Cueto? They were less booing Cueto more than they were booing the fact that they could not – booing the season, the lack of offense, all of these things that have been obvious from the beginning. Cueto had a bad game. Engel had a bad situation when he didn't catch that foul ball. He didn't lose the game the other day. There are players that have played well, and it just doesn't go the way you expect every night. But every night and every day, there seems to be a lack of offense from the White Sox, and that's what's kept them from winning. Can you imagine? I don't even have the number stranded for the season in scoring position, but it's a high number. I don't know what it is, but I'll make an educated guess. It's a high number. If that number were just down by one quarter, or let's even say if that number was slashed in half, how many wins would that be worth? We'd be in first place.
In a division that's begging somebody to take it. I mean, it's the only thing that's keeping you in this playoff conversation, such as it is this division, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
if
you look at the run differential for the Chicago White Sox, you know, it's been a while since it's still very much a negative number, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're looking at this thing and thinking what truly should be their record, because they're 63-63, they're minus 37 in run differential, 526 runs scored, giving up 563. According to MLB.com, their expected record should be, based on run differential, wait for it, 59-67.
Diamondback territory.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you're talking about. You're 500, but is it smoke and mirrors 500? I mean, you should be 59-67, and no one would be talking about celebrations in October. And one of our Twitter followers said, and you can follow Mark Zander at Zander Rocker, one R in the middle, right?
Yeah, and it's all one word. Yep.
Yeah, and follow me at Brian Hanley 534. And one of our Twitter followers said, what Rickon's supposed to say? Well, you can say, you know, you can state.
Saw that, right.
You can state the health, and you can talk about the team. And instead of saying, you know, we still have what it takes to be celebrating. Yeah, how about we need to hit the gas right now to get to October?
That's exactly right. Why doesn't he stand up and say, look, we have the talent. We know that we're suffering through injuries, yet these are professional baseball players that have to stand up. Look, I don't care if he's tough, and I don't care if somebody gets their feelings hurt at this point. Because if I had a chance to talk to the team, I would talk to him like that, and probably not anybody would appreciate it. But it's the truth. The truth hurts sometimes.
You've had Kenny Williams reportedly go down there and talk to him. You've had the leadership council meet and talk about what needs to be done.
Right.
And yet here we sit.
And you've had Johnny Cueto say he's been a little more blunt than anybody else has been willing to.
He said we have to show the fire if we have any. You're right. And that's when Tony said curious statement rather than obvious statement. And that led to the leadership meeting, which supposedly you know, Jose Abreu said, here's what we got to do. And they started talking like they're going to do something about it. And it hasn't transpired.
It was a little bit temporary. By the way, the average of base runners stranded, we are second in that, in a bad way, to San Diego, 7.13 per game.
Ooh.
San Diego's 7.29. And they're struggling, too. I mean, they've got a hell of a lineup, but they're not. They're probably not catching anybody.
Well, and they traded for Juan Soto, there was news out of Anaheim that the Angels may be the next team up for sale, and MLB doesn't like to have more than one team for sale at the same time, so the Nationals have to get figured out before Marino gets his money, but, you know, what do you do with Shohei Ohtani? After this season, they have one more year of control of him, and he wants to be on a winning team, and our other Twitter poll question is, if, in fact, they were to trade him in the offseason, as much as that would alienate the Angels fan base, it's probably the best baseball move they could do before they sell the team, because he's not staying there. I mean, if he was staying there, it's one thing, because how much does he boost the value of that franchise? But he wants out. So you have to get something for him.
I think he's a bigger catch than Juan Soto.
Absolutely.
Man, no doubt.
And so our other Twitter poll question is, if they in fact trade him, which team in this town would be more likely to make a deal for him, the Cubs or the White Sox? Because can you imagine 33,000 be 40,000 every time Ohtani pitch or anytime he was in the lineup? I mean,
which is every day.
Right. You want to excite him. You want to excite a fan base. Yep. Even if Tony was still taking up space at the end of the dugout next year, people want to come see Shohei Ohtani.
Hey, bite your tongue.
North side, if you really want to prove that, you know, you were going to spend money, Tom Ricketts and Jed Hoyer, you know, you'd have to pay to get the, you know, your prospects and assets to get them.
Yep.
And then you'd have to sign them to a long-term deal.
Right.
But you want to excite people for years to come, go get that guy.
It's a bold move on either side. I'm not sure either side has what it takes to make that bold move. We've got Owen wants to jump in. We like to hear from Owen each weekend on ESPN 1000. Hey, Owen, what's up?
Hey, guys. Good Saturday morning to you.
Good Saturday morning.
Hey, I'm glad you guys bring up Han, because, once again, here's a little thing that, if you look at it, the one guy that I really liked on his team last year that he picked up at the trade deadline, he's not great, but I think he bolstered the bullpen, was Tempora.
Yep.
And where does he go? He gets rid of him, and then we end up picking up Joe Kelly.
Yeah, I'm so not sure why that happened. I thought that we should keep Tempora, but...
Maybe the guy was doing too good, because I still tell you, I look at what they've done, and I'll give them credit for Cueto, but Cueto was kind of a, you know, it's a typical Sox move.
That's a happy accident is what that is.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll give him credit for Vaughn, but this guy, he doesn't know talent. I mean, you know, and the whole injury bugaboo, I don't want to hear about it, because they've been like that, not just since All-Star break this year, since All-Star break last year, and they didn't have a lot of injuries last year. So, I mean, it's been consistently average at best.
Yep.
And we've continued to stick with, you know, with guys that don't adjust. The other day, I will say, Jimenez was up, and he actually took two walks in the game, right?
Yep.
But then I see right after that, after he works the pitcher for a walk, next guy comes up, boom, double play on the first pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other day, our big pickup at the trade deadline is Diekman. He throws a pitch to, and I don't blame him for the loss the other day to Baltimore, but you got Ben on first and third, nobody out. He throws a pitch in the dirt, a slider. The guy, and I can't remember who it hit the fly ball to win the game, but the guy swung and missed by a mile. So on an 0-2 pitch, what's he do? Throws the next hanging slider down the middle. And the same thing with Hendricks the other day. Hendricks has been good for the Sox. But still, you have an 0-2 pitch. The pitch before the guy, before he hits his first major league homer, there's a fastball above his eyes. The guy swings and misses, can't catch up. What's he do? He tries to trick him with a slider instead of throwing his high fastball.
Yeah, it's almost right. In those few situations, it's almost like just keep it simple.
Yeah, and they overthink. And then, I mean, it's just, you know, I put this, to be honest with you, Tony is what he is. He's an old guy that I don't think can relate to players. I like I said, I never liked him when he was younger with the Sox. But you know what? Maybe he's blown a few games this year, but it really comes down to Han. And if it's not, and if everybody says, oh, Han's hands are tied and this and that, well, you know, then come out and say it. Stop just being a figurehead. Because I really think that the guy doesn't know talent, and I think they over-exaggerated this talent. They signed a lot of guys. You know, the Sox signed a lot of these young guys hoping that they'd come through for a few years. What are you going to do with Mankata now? Who's going to pick up that $70 million contract?
Well, there are a lot of issues. Owen, thank you for the phone call. You know what? Han, Brian, is not going to come out and say, you know what, even though I'm the GM, I can't really do what I want to do. So, you know, don't look at me. Okay, even if that's the case, he can't come out and do that. But we don't know how the whole organization is really, really built. Kenny Williams is in there.
If that is the case, and Rick Hahn feels that's the case, that he really can't, you know, he has to go through Kenny and or Jerry every time he wants to do anything. at what point do you wake up and say, you know, the checks are nice and the direct deposit works, and you know, I mean, he's a bright guy. He's got more diplomas than, you know, Northwestern Prince sometimes or whatever. I mean, at what point do you think, I am an empty suit, I am better than this, I am getting, you know, I'm the face of the organization, so Owen's right, I, you know, I'm going to get criticized for this team, even though I felt like I could have put together a better team if I'd been allowed to actually do my job. At what point, just out of self-respect, do you say, as much as I like the gig and there's only, you know, a handful of these jobs, I can't do this. I want to go work for an organization that will let me be somebody.
I agree with you. I agree with you. In the business that we're in, I've mentioned many times that I have been in charge of radio stations. And when you work in this business and you're in charge of radio stations, but people insist on telling you what to do, it's a little frustrating because it's like, why am I here?
You know, if it says program director on the door,
exactly. Right. So I understand that frustration. So we really don't know. Maybe he does have all the control and he's not succeeding in his job.
Well, and that's absolutely something that you have to take at face value. I mean, as we go on here, before we get out of here at 11, I'll give you some thought, insight on the organization itself and how it's structured. I've talked to someone who knows about this, because I said to this guy, Jerry is the chairman. He's not even majority owner. I think when they bought the team back in 1980 or 81 for a song, it was $19 million. Yep. I mean, the Cubs sold for $21 million. And I actually had one share of Cubs stock when they sold to Tribune Company. And as much as it was a nice return, no one at that shareholders meeting wanted to vote to give up our shares because we liked owning a part of the Cubs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I had one share of stock that I bought for like $500 with my grocery store money that I used to work at. And so $21 million, I was getting like $2,100, you know, for my $500 investment. But I mean, Gene Siskel was sitting behind me at the shareholders meeting at Holiday Inn near Lakeshore Drive, and they took a voice vote. Well, only the Cubs could screw up a rubber stamp. Wrigley owned like 86% of the team, right? Because and he lost both parents, so he had double IRS inheritance tax to pay within the same year. So that's why he sold. He needed the cash. None of us wanted to sell, and there were more of us in the room than he. And so when they had a voice vote, we all voted no. And they said, oh, now the lawyers are scurrying and passing out ballots to write on because they couldn't even rubber stamp the sale. And some lawyers stood up who owned a share of the team, said, we just had a legit voice vote, and I'll see you in court. You know, you can't change it now. But anyway, I'll talk about the White Sox and how that's structured. I think Jerry owns about 19% of it now, give or take. He's been buying up minority owners over the years as they wanted to get out or you know, they had life changes or their estates or whatever. But he's the man. But I was talking to this guy. I'm like, doesn't he have a fiduciary duty to the other owners who make up the majority to maximize the franchise value and to want to put more fans in the seats by trying to win?
Right.
And I'll let you know what he said.
Okay, good. That's a fabulous tease. We're up against the break. We'll come back, take your phone calls, talking to Jesse Rogers soon, our baseball guy here on ESPN 1000. We'll be right back. And this is your home for Chicago White Sox baseball. White Sox, they're underdogs tonight to the Diamondbacks. Oh. I can't believe I'm saying that. Davis Martin is on the hill for the White Sox as Kopech's on the IL. Merrill Kelly, 10-5, 2.87 ERA. That's the guy we thought would probably be a big challenge. You know, it's the second game. Anything can happen, Brian. Usually a win in the series.
Yes, usually. Game. So yeah. Maybe you take the underdog money tonight, you know, because it's not the first game of the series. So.
Game the system. Absolutely. Yeah, we have Catholic League Mike from Clarendon Hills wants to jump on and talk White Sox here on ESPN 1000. Hey, Mike.
Hey, boys.
Hey.
I was at the game last night. And first of all, most people were there to see Elvis. But what I couldn't believe, they're a dead-ass team. And nobody came out to talk to Cueto in the second inning to kind of calm him down, calm the team down.
But isn't that the last guy you really need to worry about? I mean, he could almost be a pitching coach, right?
Yeah, but you know what? It was first and third. There was only one run in, two outs, and then he walked a guy.
Yep. Double.
It was 1-0 at the time. And it just – but the other part of it is nobody came out. Nobody was warming up. He pitched 5 innings, I think, and they took him out. I mean, but they're dead ass. And if you saw that kid on the other team in center field, he's a Mount Carmel kid.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not saying he's the greatest. He made two fantastic
plays.
Yes, he did. And one of the stories, his father works for the White Sox. And they, in the second round, they didn't pick him because they thought it'd be nepotism. So, anyway, I'm not saying the kid's going to be the greatest player, but...
But he had a great night. He had a great night in a park where he grew up.
Alec Thomas,
right. Yeah.
And his dad was a longtime strength and conditioning coordinator, yeah.
Yep.
But they
This is a team that did draft Ron Shuler's granddaughter and Jerry Reinsdorf's grandson or something. You know, just as like in the last selection of
the call,
drafts. So you want nepotism. How about actually go and get a player? I don't care if he's related to somebody.
Yeah, I've not heard that was necessarily the case. Yeah, you know, that could have been the rumor. Who knows? Kid had, again, last night's catch doesn't define a career. So, you know, hopefully he's good. I'm rooting for him. But he had a hell of a night at a park where he grew up, just like Gavin Sheets loves Camden Yards.
Yep.
Because he grew up there because dad played for the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah. And Pops was sitting right behind him.
Yes, he was. Yeah, big smile on his face.
Yeah.
312-332-3776. We're going to talk to Jesse Rogers in just a bit. The White Sox pregame with Tyler Aki sitting in at 5:30 today. Connor and DJ on the call. First pitch at 6:10. As I mentioned, Davis Martin on the hill. 4.25 ERA. He's 2-3 this year. He's been up and down from AAA. But I think he's got a solid future. He's got to fill in for Michael Kopech. Kopech is on the IL along with most of the other quote unquote stars on this team. Robert and Mokana day to day. And while I get that we're keeping them day to day because, you know, we don't want to put them on the IL, but right. Our bench is super short because of this.
Well, I mean, every time you see Luis Robert swing,
let's go with a bat. It's like,
yeah.
And that goes with the whole thing of, you know, is Tony being too soft with the players? It kind of seemed like he was, but then Robert's in. And maybe Robert said, I don't want to come out. I think he actually did tell somebody from the media saying, nope, I'm not coming out.
But that's why you have trainers and medical people to make those decisions. So it's not ultimately it's up to the player and the manager. I get it. But if the doctor, team doctor goes and says, it's a bone bruise, it's not broken.
Let's take you out.
Yeah. At some point, now Tony says maybe he's ready to go on Monday. We'll see. Or the off day Monday, maybe he goes Tuesday. But, okay, he hasn't been helping you because of this or, you know, partly because of this. And then Aloy goes limping off again yesterday.
I know.
Fragile. I get the injuries. I mean, I get that's part of the equation, but there's too much other stuff here to get you to 500.
If it were just injuries, Brian, could you imagine how wonderful that would be?
Yeah.
No, there's all kinds of issues. And we'll talk to Jesse Rogers about those in the south side. We'll talk about the north side, too. Something happened this week that it kind of made me kind of have a bit of a pause. We'll talk about that when we come back. Jesse Rogers joins us here on ESPN 1000. Yes. So crazy right now. ESPN 1000, Xander and Hamler. We're joined by our baseball guy, Jesse Rogers. Now, Jesse, we're so frustrated on the South Side, I'd rather talk about music, but you're the baseball guy, so I guess we have to talk baseball.
Well, we could talk a little music because it says a lot when the entertainer that's been dead 45 years puts on a better show.
I thought it was Elvis night for Elvis Andrews.
Right, exactly. Well, that's, I think, why they drew 33,000. It's a good crowd. I was sitting in the stands those first few innings, and then, of course, the air came out because they were down 6-0 before you could even get your first beer down. So, but I will say, my daughter went with me with a couple friends. They enjoyed Elvis, even though they didn't know who he was.
Did they have the glasses with the sideburns? Did your daughter? No,
but they did sing and dance the songs they don't even know. So that was fun for them and the fireworks show. But it's
that
not good when the entertainment
that jumpsuit
is
you wore was pretty nice. Right?
Yeah, that was a sweet jumpsuit you wore.
Yeah,
you know, when they have Elvis night, they were right yesterday on NBC Sports Chicago in the postgame. It's always about the overweight, bloated Vegas Elvis. It's not about the stud in the 60s, in the 50s.
Well, I could definitely do the overweight, balding Elvis. I can play that.
Well, I guess that's why people celebrate, because most are closer to that reality.
Yeah.
Hey, has anyone seen the Elvis movie that's really about Tom Hanks playing the his manager? Has anyone seen
Colonel
that yet?
Parker? I have not seen it. I've heard it was really, really good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm over it.
I think that might be more entertaining than the Sox right now. So we might, we can list the things more entertaining than the White Sox right now, and it'd be a long list.
We don't have time. We don't have time.
Jesse, Rick Hahn came out and said they still have what it takes to have multiple celebrations in October. Okay, whatever. Can you give us any insight into how much is he truly the architect of this team and roster, or is it a by committee thing?
Well, it's definitely by committee, but he's definitely in charge. Yes, but he and Kenny work closely together, just like every GM and president do. I don't think Jerry's involved or many other people in the baseball operations department. Obviously, they're assistant GMs and stuff. But I've heard your conversation, and this is what I'll say. Yes, Rick can pretty much do what he wants within a set of parameters. Remember, this is one of, I think, four franchises that's never given out a $100 million contract. This is one franchise that has certain limits to the kind of contracts they'll give out. Jerry won't give out opt-outs, for example. So if you want to get really creative in things, the White Sox are not your team. So there's all sorts of things that he's working under. But within those parameters, yes, Rick Hahn can make the decisions. He's the one on the phone with the GMs. He'll take it back to Kenny. They'll discuss things, and they'll move forward. So it's kind of like, yes, he's in charge, but with some guardrails in place. That's the best way I can describe it.
And Jesse, with those guardrails, can you do business that way in this day and age in Major League Baseball?
No.
Effectively.
Yeah. I mean, no, you can't. Not in this day and age. There's so many teams that are willing to push all in and continue to do that and have windows that are open for years on end. You want to be like the Pirates every so often you have a shot, or the Reds. Okay, you can be that. You can be that. But that's not what you should be in Chicago, right? They've decided to rebuild just like the Cubs did. Cubs finished theirs off. The Sox are now having a little speed bump here. And so they deserve all the criticism they're getting because they made fans sit through a bunch of losing years to get to this point. And now, where are we? Where are we? I had a great caller last night in the postgame show. He's like, Jess, what happens this offseason exactly? I mean, where does Rick turn? What do they do? Sure, moving on from the manager and the hitting coach are easy, but there's a lot more that has to be done, unless you're just going to try to run it all back. I think we all agree that'd be a mistake. So, I mean, their offseason will be really interesting if they don't make the postseason. And even if they do make it and get, bounced out quickly like they did last year, there's still tough decisions and big ones to be made.
There's almost too much to do.
I mean, yes and no. It can look bad, and then all of a sudden you make that one good move.
See, that's the thing.
Trade.
Right now, in this moment, it looks like there would be too much to do.
Look, Cleveland has the youngest roster in the league. Yep. Minnesota seems to be on the upswing. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be as easy as it has been these last couple years to compete in this division. Though you never know. Cleveland, nothing's guaranteed. Cleveland could take a step back. You don't know. But, yes, there's a lot to do. I agree. You got to balance out that lineup. You got to get a little better defensively. You got to probably add another top-end pitcher. You got to figure out what you're doing with Giolito. Lynn's going to be on the last year of his deal. A lot of questions. A lot of contenders have questions. Just the Dodgers have less and the Yankees have less, So, I understand Rick trying to put on a positive light in an interview with a reporter. Like, I don't come down on the things they say so much. It's the things they do. It's like Ricketts and Jed saying, yeah, we can compete in 2022. Well, that's what they say. I know they can articulate in a certain way to let fans know, hey, wink, wink, we know we don't have a World Series team. And maybe Rick should be doing that right now. Wink, wink. I understand we're underachieving. But I don't care what they say. I care about what they do. And what the White Sox have done, going back to the offseason, wasn't good enough, and a lot of people think going back to hiring the manager wasn't good enough, and it's showing up in all ways right now with their record.
Well, and Jesse, the two things you just said, that, you know, they've never given out a $100 million contract, one of four teams, shame on them, and the opt-out, I mean, I go back to Ron Shuler. We were down at the winter meetings when Greg Maddux was going to be a free agent, was a free agent in the offseason, and he's laying up a cigarette and goes, yeah, we're in on Greg Maddux. Now, you know, G. Michael was driving him around New York trying to find a nice place to live, and he ended up in Atlanta. And they had 5-year deals on the table. And I said to Shuler, I'm like, what do you mean you're on, you know, they weren't giving pitchers more than 3 years at the time, right? Because of injury. Yeah. They were afraid that pitchers break down, and they had, you know, all sorts of studies to show that. I'm like, okay, the math doesn't work out. You got two teams who've got 5 years guaranteed, and you're talking about a 3-year deal. You're not in on Greg Maddux. So those parameters do impact and do tie the hands of the general manager dating all the way back to then. Until now. And so, you know, between that and maybe the farm system being oversold, I mean, is that possible? We look at, you know, guys like Kopech and then the deals they've given to Mankata when they made the Chris Sale deal. Look at the money he's making. You know, the front office hasn't had a really good run here.
No, and I don't blame them so much for those early deals. I know a lot of people do. It's a lot of hindsight. Look, everybody blamed the Cubs for not signing up players. Now we're going to blame the White Sox for actually signing them up because it eliminates their motivation, right? And of course, there's some truth to that. They're human beings, but that's why you have a good manager and a great coaching staff to bring out the best in players. Mm-hmm. when you know, maybe they don't have the same kind of motivation as they had coming up. Look, the Philadelphia Phillies went 32-20 without Bryce Harper, right?
Yep.
You have their look. What's happened since Girardi? Rob Thompson, beloved in that. In baseball and in that dugout, and they take off. So managers matter. All that stuff matters. And we can check off a bunch of things where the Sox are coming up short in the dugout, in the front office, and, of course, the players themselves also. But, man, I think you're right, Sandra. There is a lot of work to do. And I feel like I have just been on such a, you know, I'm a broken record on this. Start with balancing out the lineup.
Yes.
Go lefty, righty, that is actually scary. Not four righties in a row that you can get out the same way.
Uh-huh.
I always hate to relate it back to the Cubs, but it does remind me of the Cubs at the end. It was same kind of hitters, and even though they had balance, but you can get them out the same way. And there's a couple big mysteries here. Why this team chases as much as it does probably is a reason why they've lost a lot of their power, like, pitchers don't need to come into that.
Uh-huh. Yep.
They don't need to throw hitters.
And why do they keep doing it? As if we all don't notice that this is an issue months ago, but they still keep doing it.
That I can't answer.
Right.
That's part of the.
And we all see as fans. We all see it, Jess.
Yeah, do they think teams don't have advanced scouts? They're sitting there taking notes before the series? I mean, come on.
I could just tell you this. When you have a very similar lineup, 3 years running, that's not very balanced, you're going to get figured out. And for the life of me, if I've said it once, I've said it 100 times, I don't know why the front office didn't see what happened in the playoffs and understand what their weaknesses were going forward in terms of the unbalanced lineup that they were producing and make some changes. Maybe they tried and they just couldn't. They just said, well, let's run it back with a healthy lineup and see what happens. But I truly believe if every player was healthy for the whole season, they'd be better, but they wouldn't necessarily be in first place by 5 or 10 games because I just think they're flawed defensively and throughout the lineup. They can be good if they're healthy, but great, elite, World Series elite, I don't think so.
Yeah, I think that we all realize that now, but we were sold a bill of goods.
Yeah. Look, if you run this thing back and there's no change, you know, Rick's still here and Kenny's still here, and Tony's back because he's Tony, and Jerry's, you know, indebted for life for what Hawk did to him, you know, a lifetime ago. That's the biggest double bird flip to the fan base. And I mean, I'd love to be the guy in the office trying to call season ticket holders and ask them to re-up if you bring everybody back and expect
talk
better.
About a job you don't want.
Are you kidding
me? Well, let's just say right now, I mean, if the word is malpractice, let's use that word.
Yes. Yeah.
If they try to run it back again, I mean, it's complete malpractice. I mean, complain. And look, I think Rick and Kenny, I mean, you talk about Rick was very measured in the things he says. I know behind the scenes Kenny's, you know, throwing things at the wall. He's the emotional group that. So there's no – they're smart enough to know they can't run it. Now, maybe they have to continue to work with some guard with those guardrails up. But even within those guardrails, you can do better. You can do better. You do have, like, the seventh highest payroll. You haven't spent it wisely. We can go through some of it. So they can do better even within their guardrails. I mean, nothing says you have to spend $300 million on a player. The Tampa Bay Rays ain't doing it, and they make the playoffs every year. So there's something wrong in their processes right now, and that includes getting ready for a baseball season. I'm talking about preparation. Yeah, so that's a whole thing that Rick has to address. So think about just off-the-field prep, on the field, the in the dugout. I mean, there's like you said, Zan, there's so many big things they have to address.
That's
here.
That's the thing. They've got to prioritize, right?
Yeah, but I know Rick and Kenny well enough to know they're not looking at this and saying, well, let's just run it back and hope Tim Anderson doesn't break his hand next year. You know?
That would be ridiculous. Jesse Rogers, thank you for jumping on with us. We're going to see you on baseball tonight. Tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow from St. Louis. That's the sad thing. Bristol has to send me to St. Louis for good baseball. The Cardinals and the Braves, two playoff-bound teams. I used to just do this at Wrigley, you know, over the last decade.
Well, these days we have to travel to get the championship-type baseball.
Exactly right. So, a great show. Been listening the whole drive. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, pal. Thanks, Jesse Rogers here on ESPN 1000. Always a pleasure to talk baseball with Jesse. You know, he's right. The whole balanced lineup concept, how did that get past them? So many things off the field processes. He's right. With the seventh highest payroll, you can do better than what you got right now, even with the guardrails of, yeah, you know, no opt-outs or anything. But I would hope that somebody gets through to Jerry and the board to say, we've got to change how we look at things. This is 2022.
That leads to my conversation with somebody who knows how that operation works with the ownership. And you know, we can talk about that because those are pretty significant guardrails, right? You're a major market team, right? And no $100 million contracts, no opt-outs for players. I mean, it is 2022 going on 2023. You know, I'm with you, Mark. Can you operate at a high level, an elite level that you can be, you know, you can be scuffling around at 500 and trying to win a bad division.
But that's not good enough.
If that's the bar, you know.
Yeah, better not be. Hey, let's jump into that after the break for sure. We'll get that insight. I think that that's going to be very important moving forward. And we'll take your calls too. 312-332-3776. This is ESPN 1000.